you're a fan of baseball and old movies, like I am, you've probably seen or at least heard of the movie The Field of Dreams. The 1989 movie chronicles the story of baseball legend Shoeless Joe Jackson and farmer Ray Kinsella, who builds a baseball field in the middle of his cornfield to attract Jackson's ghost and that of other deceased baseball players. Kinsella, a devoted baseball fan, fears growing old without achieving anything in life beyond the everyday norm of tending to his crops and his family obligations. And one evening, while he's walking through his cornfield, he hears a voice whispering. I can hear the tone of the voice in my head right now. If you build it, he will come. He sees a vision of a baseball diamond in the middle of his cornfield, and he believes he's to build it, knowing that plowing down some of the corn crop could really bring a risk of financial hardship. If I was walking on my own property and I heard a voice say those words to me, I'd first look around and wonder who was talking to me because I'd think I'd gone crazy. Then I'd wonder, what am I supposed to build? But you see, applying that principle in our lives has really nothing to do with building physical stuff or property or baseball or things at all. Have you ever heard of something called the attraction principle? It's a psychological principle that says this. Based on the way people act and carry themselves, they fascinate us and attract our attention. But also, they often inspire others to action and change the mood of any room they enter. A lot of them tend to be very successful in everything they do. It's the principle of attraction that draws others to them. We want to be just like those people. So naturally, we're attracted to them, to get to know them, to learn from them, and to grow alongside them. On the flip side of that, I don't hear too many people talk about experiences where people carry anger, bitterness, pessimism, despair, and somebody thinks, oh, I want to be just like them. However, that type of thinking and actions can have its own type of attraction, and not for the ways we necessarily want to think of. Negative behaviors, thoughts, and actions can draw people in. Focusing on the negative too much can rub off on people. So I guess rather than attraction, it's more like magnetism or transference, for a lack of a better term. So, are people attracted to you? Okay, maybe that wasn't the best way to phrase that. Let me remind you, I'm not talking about physical attraction or good looks here, but there are things about you, your attitude, your work ethic, your demeanor, your faith life. Do those things cause people to want to be around you, to learn from you, to grow from you, to want to spend time with you? I want to talk a little today about what makes people have that attraction principle, and the things we need to be careful about when it comes to having others around us so much. In the field of dreams, Ray Kinsella hears a voice, sees a vision, believes, encourages others, and then follows what he's called to do. And so often we hear a voice or witness something that's being done, but then we don't move forward. I think this is the first step to becoming that someone that others want to be around. Let me back up a minute. Though I just laid out the steps that Ray followed, let me reiterate that there isn't a certain formula that works for everybody. It's not a big drawn-out equation or a life puzzle that you need to solve. It's actually pretty simple. So I ask you this question. If you were one of your friends, would you want to be around you? If you were a stranger who had the opportunity to work with you, would you want to? Despite the countless philosophies and studies out there about laws and principles of attraction and the many, many steps that it says you should follow, I think it really boils down to a few things that are truly faith-based, and I think it's these three. One, do unto others as you would want them to do to you. Two, like attracts like. And three, the present is always perfect. Let me elaborate. Matthew 7:12 says this in part. This is the Amplified version. So then, in everything, treat others the same way you want them to treat you. Most of us know this is the golden rule. To me, this is really the one that is the most common sense. When we see others, we're really able to see a reflection of ourselves because our thoughts, our words, our actions, our emotions, and how they're geared toward others really truly have an effect on our own lives. It really comes down to something as simple as adopting a service-first mindset. Now, I'm not saying we should just run around and do things for others because we expect something in return. And I'm not saying we can do everything. But we should say yes to being kingdom-minded. We need to free ourselves from the limits we set on ourselves. If we want people to be friends with us, we need to be a friend. If we want others to support us, then we need to be supportive. When it comes to our words, do we talk mostly about things and our own accomplishments, or do we open ourselves up in conversation to see how we can connect with others? Do we use our words to be one-sided or one-directional or as a building block? We should be using them to build an excitement about what we believe in and what we're doing. God has given us a circle of influence for us to be attracted to, training us up to live out our heavenly calling to then be that attraction for others. So the statement, like attracts like, what exactly does that mean? We shouldn't misinterpret it as we should only ever hang out and associate with people who are exactly the same as us. We should always surround ourselves with people who will push us, challenge us, and help us grow. But this phrase really, I think, means something like this. Remember in school learning in science class about how positive ions are attracted to other positive ions? It's a scientific principle that applies across all living organisms, and for humans, it often means that people with similar focuses, people with similar morale, similar life goals, those people will tend to relate better and want to spend time with people who do the same thing. People who are positive, open, and kind, they don't really tend to hang around all the time with people who are negative and closed-minded. In this sense, this is where any type of principle of attraction can be dangerous for us if we're not careful. I've seen many people in my life who attract to people who are just like them, and then they develop a sense of superiority and a big ego and fall into a trap of being in a comfort zone. This sort of goes back to a few episodes ago when I talked about your circle of friends and influence. Look at the people in your life that you spend the most time with. Do they inspire you? Do they bring you down? Are they taking you in a direction you want to go? Or are they causing you to think thoughts, say words, and do actions that are contrary to where you feel you're really supposed to be? And also, I believe the present is always perfect. Now let me explain. Perhaps a better phrase to use might be, savor the moment. To a lot of people, it always looks like the present isn't perfect. There's war going on in the world. Maybe your bills are piling up. Maybe work is stressing you out. Maybe your kids are hard to manage. It's hard to see how we can call life perfect amidst so many bad things. But if we looked at our own lives, even one aspect of it, and tried our very best at that one thing, not just part way, but all the way, what would it do? What if what we have now or what we have in front of us is what we're destined for, and we don't give it our all to get there? If you're living in your calling, you should savor every moment. Let me put it this way. If you knew you needed to clean up your closet, you could go about it one of a few ways. Maybe you empty everything, take a few things off the hangers to donate, and then just put the stuff back. And in a few months, you're back to a messy closet. Or maybe you not only donate the things you don't need, but you sew on missing buttons and iron shirts that need ironed, or buy high-quality hangers to organize things neatly. Maybe you clean your shoes and you organize things by season or color. You see the difference? Okay, maybe the second one sounds a little too much, but you know, there's a big difference there because one to me feels like it's an obligation and the other one feels intentional. The clothes that I have are what I need, and if I need something different, I'll do what I need to make it right, but not half-heartedly. Okay, I need pants for this thing or whatever. I'll go out and get some. But I only try one store, and they don't have what I need, so I give up. Maybe I'll do my best to make it a place that mirrors who I am and what I'm about. You see, even though it's an analogy of a closet, I really will do my best to make it a place that mirrors who I am. It says that I really take care of even the little things and give them importance. I heard it said by a CEO one time that they wouldn't hire somebody whose car is a mess. Why? Maybe if they can't keep their car tidy, how can they be trusted with millions of dollars in company assets? Ultimately, you can take this approach with every single aspect of your life. But try just starting with one thing for now. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's time spent with your kids. Maybe it's quiet time you get to spend in the car talking to God. Whatever it is, savor the moment and give it your all. So this brings me back to my initial question. With all that said, why would people be attracted to your personality, your demeanor, your work habit, why would people want to be around you? Do you do unto others as you would like them to do to you? Do you connect with others who share the same passions, beliefs, work ethic, personalities? Do you savor each moment and give your life your very best? Let's look back at the movie for a moment. Ray Kinsella heard a voice. In the superly quick abridged version, he thought about it, talked about it, then did it. Ray created a place that people wanted to go to. Some people thought he was crazy. Some people thought he was genius. Others thought he had a gift. Remember, it's actually quite simple. So I'll ask this question one more time. If you were one of your friends, would you want to be around you? If you were a stranger and had the opportunity to work with you, would you want to do it? Do you live your life in such a way? Have you acted on things you've been called to act on? Have you gone after your calling in life so passionately that everybody wants to learn from you, be like you, grow from watching you, savor the moments they get to be around you? For me, it takes me back to the root point that we all need to conduct our lives and live like Jesus, bringing hope, showing love, being the hands and feet to the world. Philippians 1:27 says this, this is the English Standard Version, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." Major League Baseball built their own Field of Dreams within the past few years, and I'm sure if I ever saw it in person, it would be a spectacular sight to see. It'll draw thousands and thousands of people to see it for its architectural beauty and, you know, the significance and connection with the movie and the story. But beyond that, what will attract people to it? Do you give people a reason to be drawn to you? If so, why do they come? Ray Kinsella also hears the voice in the movie uttering the words, "Ease his pain and go the distance." You know, I think we're called to be a beacon of light that is so bright, people won't want to look anywhere else. To bring people to us with a love and a heart and a genuineness that is so big and so real, we can be just what they need when they need it. And with that, we must not forget the principles that will encourage people, not only draw them to us, but then in turn, be their own attractive personalities and continue to grow and help them go the distance. Honor those who deserve honor. Be excellent in all you do. Be generous and not stingy. Because when we draw people to us, we have the opportunity to give them the most precious gifts, our time, our talents, a listening ear, and most importantly, Christ, the hope of glory, who lives in each of us. If you build it, they will come. And your field of dreams, your mission field, can soon become your reality. Are you ready for your field of dreams? As always, I really do appreciate you taking time to listen. We'll see you back here next time, and we'll have more for you on Cue.